All right, any more of you, get on up here now. All right, get on up here. All right.
Is this a surprise?
All right, we got one that Carrie says the name of this song is Pretty. What's the name of it?
It's Pretty.
I love Jesus.
All right, here we go.
Come on, y'all. Don't hide back, Carrie.
Hey, you make your mom and daddy come and go with her poor old pastor Friday night to sing. Lest I be discouraged. All right. Amen. We're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. I remember when I was little one time, you know what happened to me? One time when I was real little, I was at school, and I was sitting there doing my work, being real good. I was all real, real, and I just sat like this, and this boy had a pair of scissors, and he reached up right behind me and cut my ear. He did. That's true. And I just started bleeding. He got in bad trouble, and the teacher took a ruler and beat his hand with it. So the moral of that story is, if somebody cuts you, hit them with a ruler. No. What in the past? Here we go. You need to hit the altar, you come on. Yeah. All right. Let's give him a big hand. Walk. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Our usher's gonna come right quick and we're gonna go ahead and my goodness. Demons got him right when we get back there. Amen. I hope you're ready to give tonight. Honor the Lord. If you didn't get it in Sunday, now's your chance. Let's honor God. Amen. Good to have Brother Derek back. When he's gone, our offering is very low, so I'm glad it's going to bump up tonight. Thank God. We need it bad. We got a bus sitting out there tore up, brother. But when you're 1,000, man, loafer around like that makes big money, let me tell you. I know he does. I have ways of finding out stuff like this. I call everybody here at your work, and I find out how much you make. All right, well, let's everybody give tonight and honor the Lord, okay, and do right, and the Lord will bless you for it. Father, thank you so much for our buses. And Lord, we do pray that you'd send the money in, help us get them all going and fixed. Thank you for those that labor. Thank you for the good day we had Sunday, for kids that were saved in the last few weeks, for the buses rolling. Thank you for every bus worker. I pray that not one of them will let the devil get the victory. I pray that you would touch our buses, fill them full, use them for your glory. And as we head toward into the fall, Lord, I pray the power of God will come upon them. I pray, God, that you'd bless this offering tonight. Lord, you know the need of every heart, and I pray you'd meet that need, oh Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody give, man. group and have a song right quick, brother. Let's everybody can
want to help us tonight.
And the kids are out here right quick. We'll make us up a little singing group. However you want to do it.
It'd be hard to beat that one we had there a minute ago.
That'd be hard to beat. All right, there's a man right there. It's on your left. There's a man right there. Amen. There's Brian sitting back there. Great singer. Amen. There's Bo sitting there. There's Cassandra. Great singer. Lots of great singers in here tonight. Amen. Yeah, there's all kinds of them sitting in here tonight. Amen.
I'm taking my time getting up here. That's off my head. I keep thinking about that since Jesus passed by. Y'all sang a couple weeks ago, but I still.
Man, I worked 11 hours.
Sure did
today.
Work good for me when the Lord Jesus passed by. Amen.
Get our Bibles open while they're being seated, and we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I stirred up enough stink Sunday night that we'll carry on just a little bit. Yes, sir, I am. Just keep messing with it. No, just keep messing with it. Amen.
Yeah, it's on. No, I'm not on mute.
I'm totally, completely right up here. It's back there. It's wrong. Battery's good. Everything's on. I can even see it jumping when I talk. Well, just mess with it. Let's get our Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And somebody's messed something or touched something or mashed a button or unplugged something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now tonight, amen. We're going to continue a little bit about what we actually, it's a different thing we want to talk about Sunday night. But Sunday night, I preached on how to enjoy your salvation. And one of the ways you enjoy your salvation is to know what the Bible says about salvation and security. And we got into eternal security and what the Bible says about it and teaches about it. And I showed you how to rightly divide the word of truth. I had people at the church tell me, they said, I've been in church all of my life and I've never seen that. And that's why it's so needful. There's probably not five churches in Burke County that even understand those verses. The verse that said, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. A free will says, see there, if you don't live right till you die, you go to hell. Then the Baptist will say, well, if you're really saved, you will endure to the end. Now, both of them wrong. It's a truth. It means what it says. It's just not talking to anybody in this age. So every heresy in the Bible, listen to me, every heresy in the world is based on a verse of Scripture taken out of context. If they didn't have some Scripture, nobody would follow them. Right? So you have to rightly divide it and let it stay in its context. Let me see if I can find me a microphone here, y'all. Let's try the handheld cordless mic, Brother Mike. Put the other one on over there. And if you don't rightly divide the word of truth...
All right, it's coming.
Amen. Put me on up. There we go. Remember the other night I said right here would be the beginning of the church age, and right there is the rapture, and then the table here would be the tribulation period, and then over here would be the millennium. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved, fits right here. How do you know? 10 verses above it and 10 verses after it. Talking about the end and the tribulation. Then shall be great tribulation. Just read it like that. If you'll read it like that, you'll see it. And then I talked about, somebody brought it up about the elect, and we talked about the elect a little bit, talked about all that kind of stuff. Tonight, we're going to go just a little bit lighter and talk about this. And we'll be talking tonight about the Lord coming back. Everybody I know that believes the Bible believes Jesus is coming soon. Now, I know we've heard it all of our life. I know we've heard it for years. But I'm going to tell you something, people. Every Bible teacher, preacher that I know of that's right with God is preaching the Lord's at the door. You know, Ralph Sexton Jr., I've known Brother Ralph ever since... Lord, I guess ever since he got right with the Lord, he was backslid and got right with the Lord when he was in his 20s, and I got saved, and I met him not long after that. And when I was about 22, I guess, 22 or 3, and Ralph, he's a very, very, very gifted, intelligent man, especially when it comes to Bible prophecy. As you know, that's his thing, you know. And he's my sister was telling me on his radio, or TV program the other day, that Ralph was just saying how close. He said how close. All this stuff going on around the Middle East. The Democrats last week didn't even want to acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And that's just a small thing. Kerry sent me a picture on my phone. And if I can get it on a video, I'm going to get it and use it, Lord willing. And it's at a big protest they're having somewhere. And this guy has on a black sweatshirt, and there's a trash can right here, and he's throwing a cross on his shirt, cross going in the trash can, and he's holding up a big picket sign about that big, and it said, if Jesus returns, kill him again. That's right. I got it on my phone. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable that people are walking around like that. And buddy, you know what? People say, well, it's always been. No, it ain't always been like that. You didn't see nothing like that 30 years ago in this country or nowhere else. John Lennon made the statement one time that the Beatles were as popular as Jesus, and the whole country, I mean, got on them Beatles, boy. I mean, they burnt their records and everything else. Now, anything goes. You can say anything, do anything, and say, it's my right. I have a right. That is, unless you're a Bible-believing Christian, stand up for the Lord, and then it's you're a bigoted hater, and you should keep your mouth shut. But listen, people, this world ain't never going to be fair to us. And you might as well get it through your head. The Lord said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. And the Lord said, woe to the man that all men speak well of. That's a lot. You got to watch out. A lot of preachers nowadays, I mean, court the favor of this world, and that's a dangerous approach. Listen, brother, I would love for the Lord to send us some rich people, and man, we could do all kind of things and all that, but I am not going to say, well, it don't matter what you do, how you live, we'll just drop all of our standards and everything and just do whatever you want to, just come and help. You can't do that. The Lord said, if they hated me, they hate you. So this evening, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tonight, and let's talk about the Lord coming back just a little bit. Some of you may not know some of this. The book of 1 Thessalonians is about the coming of the Lord. I told you the other night that the second coming is in two parts. Y'all keep working on my mic back there now. See if you can get her going here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we'll look and see these verses together tonight. Here is some scripture on what we call the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, in your King James Bible. But the word rapture simply means caught up. I heard Brother Ed McAbee say many, many years ago, he said it means to be snatched. That's what rapture means. It means to be transported swiftly from one place to another. It means now you see me, now you don't. That's what it means. That's what rapture means. When the Lord comes in glory, every eye is going to see Him. He'll set up His kingdom. He'll rule for 1,000 years. That's a different scenario. The rapture is mentioned in this scripture here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Man, I ought to preach on that right there. The Lord don't want us to be ignorant. I'm from the South and I'm a Southerner, but sometimes we love to brag about how ignorant we are. That's nothing to brag about. Some people think it makes you spiritual. I've heard preachers get up and say, I'm just an old ignorant country boy. Was that supposed to impress us or something? I mean, it's not a sin to be ignorant, but it's a sin to stay ignorant. You've been preaching 20 years, you ain't got no business saying I'm ignorant. Amen? He said, I would not have you to be ignorant. Are you ignorant tonight? You're out of God's will. Amen. Amen. If you just got saved, you got an excuse. People have been saved for years in church and years and still, excuse me, don't know 4 of the 12 disciples. Don't know how many books in the Bible. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant. One old guy got up and he said, I just keep getting ignoranter and ignoranter. That's his testimony. That was a blessing. Well, ain't no such word as ignoranter. Some guy got up and said, if ignorance is bliss, I'm a blizzard. That's nothing to brag about. And being smart don't make you wicked, and being ignorant don't make you right. Ain't that right? Some of the meanest people I ever seen are ignorant people, uneducated people. The wonderful whites from West Virginia. Amen. Just because you're not educated don't mean you're right with God. That don't mean nothing. You can be full of the devil. So he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Verse 13. That's talking about your relatives and people we know that have died who are saved. Like my mom. She's asleep. But her body is all that's asleep. Your soul don't sleep. There's no such thing as soul sleep in the Bible. People get so confused over stuff like that. You say, well, see, right there it says grandma's asleep in the grave waiting on the Lord to come back. No, she ain't. Grandma was absent from the body and present with the Lord. And when the Lord comes back, He's going to bring grandma with Him. Her body's coming up out of the grave. See, you got to understand that when you die, your soul leaves your body. That's what makes you die. If your soul stayed in there, you'd just keep right on living, 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 living. But when your soul leaves, you die. And all happens the second your soul leaves, your body dies. If I died right now, my body would fall over on the floor right here. Y'all would call an ambulance. They'd try to revive me or whatever. Take me over here at Grace Hospital and say, too late. He kicked the bucket right there at Shining Light Baptist Church. And you know what? before that ambulance got here, I'd be in the presence of the Lord and saying, glory to God, I'm home. Amen. It's over, it's over, it's over. Amen. And I'd say, Lord, I wish I'd have done more. I wish I'd have tried harder. I wish I'd have fasted. I wish I'd have preached harder and more and better. But you know what? I'd be gone just like that. Now, people don't understand that. And a lot of denominations even teach soul sleep. Soul sleep means Papa died 5 years ago, and Papa's laying in the grave dead, and Papa will be resurrected when the Lord comes back, and then we'll all see the Lord at the same time. The Bible teaches Papa dies, Papa's body goes in the grave, Papa's soul went to heaven or hell, depending on whether or not he's saved, and the Lord's going to raise his body up if he's saved at the rapture and at the end of the tribulation, end of the millennium, if he's not saved. See, all them people that die lost, their body goes to the grave, soul goes to hell, and they're in hell right now, and they stay in hell all the way through the rapture, through the tribulation, through the millennium, 1,000 years, no hurry. And the Lord has the great judgment day, and death and hell delivers up the devil which is in it, and they stand before God. Now people say, well, if they're already been in hell 1,000 years, why would God let them out? To sentence them. See, there's a difference between hell and the lake of fire. How many of y'all know that? Raise your hand. All right, most of y'all have heard that. Hell and the lake of fire, there's a difference. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Hell is a temporary holding place until you're judged and then sent to the lake of fire. It's just like right now, if you went downtown and committed a crime, they would call the cops, they would arrest you, and take you immediately to jail. You don't get a hearing. You don't stand before the judge. You're not sentenced. You go straight to jail. That's a picture of hell. Then they set you a court date. And on your court date, you come out of jail temporarily and stand before the judge, and the judge sentences you forever how long you're supposed to stay. That's the way hell is. You come out of hell, stand before the judge. It's amazing how our court system and everything follows that book, ain't it? Isn't that amazing? And the Lord will stand there and he'll sentence you to the lake of fire. I sentence you forever and ever and ever into the lake of fire for rejecting my son. That's it. There's an eternal price for an eternal sin against an eternal God, and you never get it paid for. So people who die, their body goes to the grave, their soul goes to be of the Lord, as we'll read in a minute. All right, now I spit a lot at you in the last 5 minutes. So if you have a question, you are welcome to stop me, correct me, or ask me. The body. Is that the body rest in peace? Yeah. That's what you're saying. I don't think I say that at funerals. May he rest in peace. That probably come from a soul sleep belief, I bet you, that little rest in peace saying. But that's why we're talking about the body, but whoever thought that up might have been talking about soul sleep. Anybody? All right. We're down with Pat on that. If you died right now, your soul will go to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Your body would go to a grave in a couple of days. Your body going to stay there until the rapture. Now we've had all this question. I'll throw some stuff at you, get you to think. What about people that just got blowed to bits by bombs? I mean, you couldn't find that much of them. Their body, you know what the Lord's going to do? He'll reassemble that body and bring it back together. You say, well, how can he do that? Well, how can he do somebody that's been dead 1,000 years? There ain't nothing but dust. He knows where all them pieces went. He can put it back together. Anybody got a problem with that? Or can you swallow that? That's a good question. That's a good question. I'm sure that their body in its original form will come back together somehow or another. I tell you, when I seen on TV, they had those conjoined twins, and I don't mean this bad, but I'm telling you, them girls, you seen them, they're 16 years old? I'm not making fun of them. Lord knows I'm not. There's a head here and a head here and one body, and they're walking around like this with two heads.
and they got their driver's license. They did. I can't figure out which one decides where they go. I guess maybe one would be a dominant head and the other would be a... Is that right? I believe I've met some of them. I mean, think about that. But anyway, I was thinking about somebody asked me, they said, what if they got saved? What if one of them got saved and the other didn't? And the rapture came. I want my sister. Well, there's. I assume maybe they only got one soul. I don't know. Well, they would have two souls then, reckon. They got two licenses? That's messed up.
She does.
That's bad. Look, y'all, we can't do that. But listen. The question is, I assume that one of them could get saved and the other wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe they got two souls. I don't know about that. That's some rough stuff. But the Lord allowed stuff like that to happen. It's some sort of a weird mutation or something because of sin in the world. This stuff happens like that. How'd I get off on that? Anyway, your body would go to be with the Lord immediately. Immediately, your body would go to be with the Lord. All right? Now, let's continue reading. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. You see how this Bible is? We ain't read a whole verse yet, and we've done got into more study than you could do in 6 months. You see how great the Word of God is, people? See how deep this book is? I'm telling you, you can't exhaust this thing right here. Amen? He said, as some which are asleep that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now look at that. That's loaded. That's a loaded verse of Scripture. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I've heard a lot of people say, well, we're not even supposed to be sorry when our family dies. That ain't what it said. It said that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We do sorrow when we lose a loved one. It does break our heart, but it don't do us like it does people lost and don't have no hope. See, when we go to the funeral home, I mean, it hurts because we'll never see mom again, we'll never see daddy again, we'll never see in this world, but thank God they're waiting on us and they're safe and happy and they'll never hurt again and we'll see them again. We don't sorrow even as others which have no hope. I tell you, one of the saddest things you ever seen in your life is an old rough, redneck, rough bunch of people in a family where somebody got killed or shot or something, and every one of them there is living like a devil, and they all know the guy went to hell. That's a sad scene. That's a sad scene. I've been in them like that. I preach funerals like that where you don't say it, but everybody's thinking the same thing. We don't know. We can't judge people's heart. I mean, you know, hopefully they were saved, but you know, they some people leave this world, and I wouldn't want to leave in their shoes. Amen? I wouldn't want to leave in their shoes, people. Listen, when you die one of these days, you'll take this thing way more serious than a lot of people takes it. It ain't going to be just something, oh, well, we're going, honey, what do you think? Are we going to go? Brother, it's going to be the most important thing in the world soon. Soon, and very soon. Well, they sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Here we go, verse 14. For if we believe, and I do, and you do, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, my mom, your family that's saved, them which sleep in Jesus, watch it now, will God bring with him. So when he comes, he's bringing them with him. There's proof right there they ain't in the grave. Just their body is in the grave. Christians don't die, they sleep. We never die. Our body sleeps, our soul never dies. Any questions on that right there? That'll help you. Wonder about if your mama or if your grandma is happy and at peace and at rest right now. She's with the Lord, and when the Lord comes back, he's bringing them with him. You know why he's bringing them with him? So she'll get their new body same time we get our new body. They don't have a new body yet. The bride is not complete.
I was just sitting there thinking that Jesus never went to a funeral where
That's right.
Amen. Amen, brother. Yeah. Yeah, he went into captivity and down into the heart of the earth and preached to captives. And they said, boy, we've been waiting on you. They're the Messiah. And so he emptied it out and took them. Abraham's bosom. I guess all of them in Abraham's bosom did, I reckon. I don't think he emptied it out. I think he emptied it out, led captivity captive, and moved Abraham's bosom up and took it to heaven with him when he died. That was a weird sight, buddy. When Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't just him. A lot of those Old Testament saints come up too, walking around Jerusalem. Think about that. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, it is. Let's keep reading here. If we don't get it here, we'll get it somewhere else. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, where are we at? 15. That we which are alive, that's like be like us right now, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which get us our sleep. The word prevent, old English, King James English, that means get ahead of, prevent, pre-event. That's the real meaning of prevent. When we say prevent, we're talking about like I prevented that bugs from coming in here. That's not the Bible definition of prevent. Prevent means go first, pre-event. It goes ahead of the event. So it's obvious to me right there that the dead in Christ, look here, verse 16, let's keep on reading. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, that's Michael, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There you go. How's that one? The dead in Christ, that's my mom, people that's going on to be with the Lord, old preachers and saints of God, they're going to be raised from the dead. He's bringing them souls with him. Their bodies are going to be raised. Now, somebody get me that verse, John 11, where Jesus said, the day is coming that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. One of y'all find that boy right quick, and I'll answer her question. But there's one that says the dead in Christ will rise. Verse 16. Let's go back to verse 15 while they're finding that verse. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Somebody said, well, if God's no respecter of persons, how come the dead in Christ rise first? And the answer is, from people like Hallelujah Howard, we got a 6-foot head start on them. And that's as good as I've ever heard. Amen. You ain't going to beat that theologically. They're going to come up from the grave and we're going to go up with them. Somebody get me that verse? Was it John 11? All that come in the grave shall hear his voice. I might be wrong. I thought it was when Lazarus. It's the story of Lazarus. I know, but is that the verse that I'm looking for? I say unto you that the day is coming which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come good. They that have done good, the resurrection of life. Oh, I'm sorry. Back up to John 5:28. Look at that one. I don't know how I had that one in John 11. John 5:28. Okay. John 5, verse 28. Look at that one. It said, the day is coming that all that are in the graves will hear his voice. Everybody's going to get up. Some the resurrection of good, some the resurrection of bad. Is that what you was asking there? Well, what else could get up? No. Your new body's made out of your body. He's going to make your new body out of your old body. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Is that the one you was going to get? Yeah, let's get that one too. Let's go to, what did I say there a minute ago? Philippians 2, it says, he shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. He's going to make your new body out of your old body. Your body, you're going to live forever. And it's just like he's going to make the new earth out of the old earth. As a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. That's why the Bible said the earth abideth forever. This earth's going to last forever and ever and ever. But he's going to remake it, burn it up, and remake it into the new earth. What's the one in Philippians? Somebody got it? Oh my goodness, that's a whole other story. How old are we going to be in heaven? We'll get to that in a minute. He's something about, you know, I've heard people say, well, I can't wait to see my baby. You ain't got a 2-year-old up there that's been a 2-year-old for 15 years and going to stay a 2-year-old forever. Now, do you think your grandma is going to be just like she was when she left this world in heaven? No. Who wants to be a 2-year-old forever and ever and ever? I just messed with it. All right, let's get that verse in Philippians first. Goo goo, gaga, praise the Lord. You know, I'm just kidding. Hold on, Philippians. Who's got it? You got the one in Philippians? Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? 3:21. Philippians 3:21, it says he'll change our vile, this one right here, vile, this one, yours, vile, fashion like unto his glorious body. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:35, nails it down real good. Oh, well, I hadn't even read my scripture yet. I had some outline and some studies we was going to do tonight. We're not even going to get the scripture read. 1 Corinthians 15, you see how the Bible is? It's something else. I feel sorry for churches that have to figure out something to do besides study the Bible. You know, they're saying, well, we got this plan, this program, we're going to go through this and that. Listen, brother, you get in that book right there, you'll get more studying done than you can ever get done. 1 Corinthians 15. What verse say, 35? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:35, sister. Some man will say, how are the dead raised up? There you go, that's your question. And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And then he goes on and on and on. God giving a body, all flesh, not the same flesh. 39, celestial bodies, that's planets and stuff like that. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. So look at verse 43. Sown in weakness, raised in power. That old song that I was sung in all the old churches when I first started preaching. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. That's where they got that, right there. Amen. As it is written, okay, the first, all those verses down through there. As we've borne the image of the earth, we've borne the image of the heavenly. Now, brethren, I say, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but flesh and bones do. You can count on that. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I'll show you a mystery. Verse 51, we shall not all sleep. That means die. But we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Verse 52, and we shall be changed. So the dead ain't talking about us. The dead's talking about Christians that have died. They're going to be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. Because we ain't never died. And that's why the Lord, there'll be people living when Jesus comes back. That's why Hebrews 9:27 is not a doctrinal statement. You've heard people say, bless God, it's appointed a man wants to die, so everybody's got to die. No, they don't. There's an exception. Some people died twice, and some people don't never die. So it's a general statement. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, they got a soul. Their soul. You know, your soul's shaped just like your body. So they can walk. The rich man said, I want water on my tongue. And he's in hell. And that wasn't his body. It's his soul. So your soul don't look like a peanut, like you see pictures drawn of it. Your soul has fingers and lips and eyes the rich man could see in hell. And that wasn't his body. That's his soul. Lord, we done opened up another big study there. Anybody else, right quick? I think so. Them people that go through the tribulation, that don't die, then have kids, and then millennium, they get to eat it and live forever. No. They will have... Yeah, I think... Okay, here goes another big one now. There will be people preserved through the tribulation, through the millennium, and have a bunch of kids during the millennium, normal people, and then go right into eternity. And he said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And the Lord's going to give it to the Jews and all them people, and they're just going to live on forever. That's where Jehovah's Witnesses got their messed up doctrine, that they can populate the planets. But we'll live in a new city with our husband, the bride of Christ. But there's going to be people that will have to eat that tree of life to live forever. He said, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. God's got a plan for all them planets out there. He didn't just make them because he didn't have nothing to do. There's where you get in trouble. Because if it says tree of life, you know what it means? Huh? No. He ain't the tree of life. Don't say he is. There is symbolism in the book of Revelation, but you've got to be careful making everything symbolic. If it don't say it's symbolic, it's literal. If it says a tree of life, then we take it a tree of life. It's got fruit hanging on it and everything. But you can't say, well, I believe that's Jesus. I mean, you know, because you don't have a scriptural basis for saying that, y'all. We're getting into some stuff that they don't know at the seminaries in the United States. Not after that, because the devil will be in hell, and there won't be no sin, won't be no temptation. But let me ask y'all one. What is going to happen to them people? What's going to happen to people who live through the tribulation, through the millennium, and they don't have a new body like us? Right. But then there's others that do.
Yeah, there's some who get saved. You're talking about eating the tree of life. What if one of them eats the tree of life?
That's how they get saved. That's how they get eternal life. No, he'll be sitting there. You don't accept him by faith when he's sitting there. You're looking at him.
Faith is what he did.
Maybe. Maybe have to do that and then eat the tree of life too. But read that verse. It says that they eat the tree of life that they might have right to the tree of life. Blessed are they that do his commandments that they may have right to the tree of life. That's a weird verse. I don't know. Is it? That's why it's called them gates, I reckon. Yeah. I guess. That's where he's going to sit during the millennium. And, you know, you're going to get to go there. We're going to get to go once a year. 1,000 trips. That's why somebody called me the other day and they said, next time Ralph Sexton goes to Israel, I'll pay for your way to go if you'll go. And I said, well, I've never went. People tried to get me to for years. I used to never would go because I was so busy and had to preach and I couldn't take 2 weeks off and stuff like that. But I always said I'm going to go one of these days. One of these days I want to. And then I start thinking, man, in a millennium I'm going to go 1,000 times and really get to enjoy it. Anybody else? We're out of time, y'all, and we ain't even got the scripture read yet. Brother Mike. Well, I believe, let's look at that. Somebody asked me about that as soon as I got through the other night. That same scripture. All right, look at Revelation 7. All right. We believe the rapture comes. I believe the rapture comes in chapter 4 and verse 1. I can't prove that, but I believe the Bible teaches it. When their voice come up hither, and the church is not mentioned anymore. The church is mentioned about 15 times in chapter 1 and 2 and 3. From chapter 4 verse 1 on, there's no church. It's gone. So everything from 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 11, when the Lord comes back, there's no church. So you're in the tribulation period here. And chapter 7, it says you got, look at verse number 4, 144,000 people sealed. Now Jehovah's Witnesses believe that them, but the Bible says it's children of Israel. And even tells their tribes, 12,000 of each tribe. Verse 9, after this, this is after them 12 tribes sealed 144,000 during the tribulation to go out and preach. I looked, and a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God that sits on the throne on the Lamb," and da 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 da, blessing, honor, glory. And one of the elders said, "Who are these people?" And he said, "Thou knowest." And he said, "These are they which came out of great tribulation." We go up before the tribulation. "And have washed their robes." We don't wash our robes. He washes us. "And made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they without throne serve him day and night." I believe that's the converts of the 144,000 of all the nations of the world that get saved during the tribulation. I wouldn't bet my soul on it, but that's my personal belief.
Okay. But they're
just obviously
heaven
of the sea. Obviously. At the end of the tribulation, there's going to be the second advent. So the Lord comes down and they're there. I guess he takes them up. What are you talking about? 6. Seven. Those got to be the Jewish saints, the Jewish 144,000 preaching during the tribulation, and all these people get saved, and then they're all up here together, and somebody said, "Who in the world's them people? Where'd they come from?" And he said, "These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That's what I believe. I wouldn't bet my soul on it. Okay. I've always believed the rapture comes in chapter 4, so there are no Christians. In 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, there's no mention of the word church. He calls them servants, not sons.
Yeah.
It's